You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
We're doing a series this month called I Like Giving, and I'm basing it somewhat out of this book called I Like Giving. I know that's really creative by me, but I found this book called I Like Giving quite by accident. Every so often, as a pastor, different printing companies will send out books for free and just to get you to like them and maybe promote them for them or something. I don't know why they sent them out. But anyways, I got this book, didn't think anything about it, and so just kind of threw it to the side. And then one day I picked it up and I started just skimming through it and reading it. And one of the things I noticed in this book is it was a lot of stories and not a whole lot of actual like teaching on giving. So I started reading through a lot of the stories and I really liked them. And the point of the book is for us to understand that giving is a lifestyle. Giving is something that flows from our heart. Giving is something that we should all be doing at all times. And it doesn't have as much to do about money as you would think. As a matter of fact, this morning, in just a minute, whenever I get us started, I'm going to be talking about what giving really is and isn't. Because a lot of times when I first get up here and if I say anything about generosity or giving, most people are going to expect that I'm going to get up here and make a plea for you to give more money to the church. And I want to tell you today, that is not at all what we're talking about. That's not at all what we're talking about today. As a matter of fact, what we're going to be talking about today and for the next couple of weeks is more about just what you do with your life. We spent a month talking about the Holy Spirit. In one of those messages, we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. And one of the things I said is that the gifts of the Spirit aren't for you. They're for others. They're for you to give away. And so that's what we're going to be really getting into this month. And the first thing I want to do is share a story. Now, there's a story in this book that is just like the story I was going to share. But whenever I read it, I thought, I've got that same story. I can share it, right? I can share it on my own. And so one time, whenever I was a much younger person than I am now, I can't remember how old I was, maybe a late teenager, early 20s, I remember being at church, and there was this guy at the church, and this guy was one of those guys that just, you know, showed up to church every so often, didn't really serve God, just kind of came to make his parents happy. You know those kind of people? Some of y'all might be those kind of people, I don't know, but you just came just to make somebody else happy, right? Just to get somebody off your back. And I remember this guy showing up every so often, and he had come to church whenever we were younger. And he and I did not have the best relationship for whatever reason. Maybe I was just a jerk and immature, or maybe he was, I'm not sure. But he and I did not have a great relationship. And so I remember one day after church, I had on some shirt. It was like one of my favorite shirts. And I'm walking out of the church and I walk past this guy and he stops me and he says, "Hey, I really like that shirt." And I don't know what it was about the way he said it. But it wasn't like one of those times when someone just says, "Hey, nice shirt," you know, and you keep on going. It was like something about the way he said, "I really like your shirt," kind of struck something in my heart. And I don't know what I was thinking, but thank God back in those days, I always had an undershirt on. I just whipped that shirt off right there in the middle of the church and was like, "Here, take it." And the guy was like, "No, you know what I mean? Like, that's your shirt. You're wearing a shirt and now you don't have a shirt." I was like, no, for real, take the shirt. It's yours. I want you to have it. And from that point on, this guy and I had the best relationship. And you know, he stopped coming to church to appease his parents and started coming to church because he wanted to come to church. And I honestly think it was because somebody showed him love and compassion and giving. And it had nothing to do with money. At that time, I didn't have any money anyway. You know, there wasn't much I could do. I want to apologize real quick. I just thought of something. I've been sick for the last couple of days. So I absolutely cannot hear because my head is so full of pressure right now. So if I get really, really loud, I won't know it. So y'all may just have to like just do this. And that means be quiet, you know, like you're going too loud. If I get really, really loud, it's not because I'm passionate. It's just because I can't hear. I'm deaf. It's funny, the story in the book that talks about this was talking about a guy that went to Chuck E. Cheese to take his kids to a birthday party. And he said as he walked into Chuck E. Cheese, he was wearing this really nice, I think, University of North Carolina golf shirt. And it was probably an expensive golf shirt. And he said the guy that was working there said, "I really like your shirt." And so the guy, again, something just told him, "I need to give this guy my shirt." So he walks out to his car and takes his shirt off and gives it to his oldest son and says, "Take this into that guy." He said, and it wasn't until then that it dawned on me that I did not have another shirt. So this guy is shirtless, right? And he said, "I had to drive home and I had to think about what my neighbors were going to think, because surely they were going to be out in the yard cutting their grass and doing stuff. And here I was getting out of my car with just my blue jeans and my sandals on, you know." So sometimes whenever we give, it's not about money. And sometimes it's going to cost us something, maybe a little bit of embarrassment if you don't have on an undershirt. So just be careful with that. But today I want to get into the notes. And the thing I want to talk about first is that generous living and a lifestyle of generosity is not tithing. It is not tithing. And the reason I want to say that right up front is because, again, like I said in the beginning, most of the time we think when I talk about generosity that I'm talking about you giving to the church. But I want you to know that generosity has nothing to do with tithing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we bring the tithe into the storehouse. We don't give it. In other words, it's not a gift that we present to God. Why? Because it's not even ours anyway. The Bible says that everything is God's anyway, and so we honor Him by giving Him 10% back. It doesn't mean that money is ours to have. So we're just giving God back what He already owns, and so tithing is not being generous. So I think a lot of people get that confused, and they think, well, I tithe to the church, and therefore I live a generous life. And we get mistaken in that part right there. Jesus even said this when talking to some people. He said, look, there's going to come a day whenever I'm going to come back and I'm going to judge the world. And he said, I'm going to separate everybody into sheep and goats. And they kind of looked at him crooked. And he said, it's like this. He said, I'm going to look at some of you and I'm going to say, whenever I was naked and poor, when I was in prison, whenever I was thirsty, you never gave me water, you never gave me clothes, and you never visited me. He didn't say anything about tithing. These people they had all the commandments down. They were doing what they were supposed to do. But he's telling them there's another aspect of life. There's another part of life that's more than giving money. There's more than just doing what you're supposed to do according to the law. There's something called a generous lifestyle that we need to be living. In Luke chapter 11, verses 39 through 42, listen to this. The Pharisees, or the church people, the religious folks, they're mad at Jesus because he's eating food and didn't wash his hands. Now, sometimes these Pharisees, man, they're just crazy, all their traditions. And here's what Jesus said. He said, now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You fools. I love that part. See, if Jesus can call people fools, then I feel like I can do the same thing. So don't be surprised. If you come to me with a problem and I feel like you're being dumb, I'm going to just say, you're a fool, right? So don't get your feelings hurt. Jesus did it too. Did not he who makes the outside, who made the outside, make the inside also? But give his alms those things which are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. Listen to this, verse 42. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb. In other words, what he's saying is, you guys are tithing on everything. Like, y'all give your tithe to the church, and you're even tithing like the little stuff. You're taking it down to every single little thing. Like, you understand, whenever we talk about tithing in church, we're talking about giving 10% of your income. And these guys were giving 10% of their income, but then, like, even if they had a plant grow in their house, they would break off 10% and give that. Even if somebody gave them a birthday present, they would break off 10% and give that. Like they were tithing everything down to the letter. And that's great. Jesus says, you tithe on every single little thing, but you neglect justice and the love of God. These things you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Jesus says it like this. He's basically saying, you guys got the tithing part down, but the problem is you're greedy and you neglect justice and you neglect love. In other words, you can do the giving in church, but you're not loving God at all. As a matter of fact, you're really, really greedy at the end of the day. So that shows me something. That shows me that you can give money to a church and not be generous at all. You can look good on the outside. See, in those days, they didn't do like we do with all of our secret giving that we have. Right? We pass a little bucket around and the bucket is not clear. Right? It's a color. It's white. So no one can see through it. We give you little envelopes. And so, like, even if you don't give, but you want people to think you're giving, you can just put an empty envelope in there. We get those every week. right? And so you give in the empty envelope, and then we say you can give online from your house or your phone, so nobody even knows if you're giving. And we got a giving kiosk back there, and we let you go do it all by yourself if you want to, so nobody knows if you're giving a penny or you're giving $1 million. Like, we don't know. But back in those days, you know what you did? You got up, and you walked to the front of the church with all your money in hand, and you put it in, like people saw you and saw how much you gave. These guys were doing everything good on the outside, but the inside they were rotten. And that's what happens to us sometimes, is we feel like if I'm following all the laws, if I'm doing everything the pastor asked me to do, then everything's okay. But Jesus said there's more to life than what you do on the outside. There's the inside, which is a generous heart. As a matter of fact, he got mad at the Pharisees on another occasion because he told them what they were doing is they would tell their own parents, their own family. See, by law, by Jewish law, you had to take care. Family took care of family. Like the sons would take care of the fathers when the fathers got too old to take care of themselves. And what these guys were doing is they were telling their own dads, instead of taking care of you, the money I would spend on you, I'm just giving it to the Lord. And it made them seem more holy. And Jesus said, you're doing wrong. Like, he called them all kinds of names. Fools, brood of vipers. I mean, he called them graves with dead men's bones. I mean, Jesus called them all kinds of dirty names, right, back in those days. And the reason was is because they had everything on the outside looking good, but the inside was jacked up. So giving, generous living is not tithing. That's a whole separate issue. Generous living is not guilt-driven. It's not guilt-driven. That's one of the things I don't like about sometimes when people are trying to raise money for something like the starving kids in Africa. Look, I'm all about supporting. I'm all about giving. But sometimes it's like they want to guilt you into giving them something. And so then we end up giving out of guilt. We end up giving because we feel bad, not because it's in our heart to do. And I want to tell you something. That is just, again, it's guilty giving. It's not really being generous. It's not really being generous. Generosity should always flow out of the heart. It should never, ever flow out of guilt. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, each one must give as he has decided, in his own heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God does not want you giving to anybody, to any place, with a heavy heart. He doesn't want you giving out of guilt. He wants you to be happy and enjoy what you're doing. Giving should be an outflow of the heart. It should be something that you enjoy doing, not something that you feel bad about having to do. The next thing I want to say is this. Giving is not perfect. Giving is not perfect. So many times we look for perfection in giving. We look to give something that we know we're going to have a good return. Like we say all the time, well, I don't want to give money to this person because I know what they're going to do is they're going to take that money and just go spend it on drugs or alcohol, right? Whenever you got the homeless guy on the side of the road. I don't want to give money to this person because they're going to just waste it. I don't want to help this person because they're not really going to do anything with what I give them. And so we get this idea that giving is supposed to be perfect and there's a perfect way to do for other people. But I want to tell you something today. Giving is never perfect. As a matter of fact, there's going to be plenty of times you try and help someone else. You try and give to someone else, and they're going to reject your gift. They're going to reject it. Why? Because they may have some pride in their life. They may have some issues in their life where they don't really want anybody to help them. And they're going to reject it. There's going to be times you're going to give to somebody, and they're going to straight up waste what you give them. They're going to waste it. I've gotten on to my kids before about me spending money on stuff and giving it to them. And the first 10 minutes they have it, they break it, right? And it makes me mad. And I think, I don't ever want to give you a gift again. Now, I do because I'm a sucker. But I don't want to at first because I feel like you're going to waste what I give you. It's important for us to understand that giving is never perfect. There's going to be times you're going to get taken. There's going to be times you're going to give and you're not going to get anything back. There's going to be times you're going to give and you're not going to see the reward. Now, I'm going to say this. I believe God will always bless you for being a generous person. But you're not always going to see it. You're not always going to see it. Some of the most generous people in our church are Jim and Rose McChesney. They sit right over here. And I love talking about Jim and Rose, because Jim and Rose are not the most wealthy people in the world, and yet they are some of the biggest givers in this church financially. They are also some of the biggest givers in this church just in life. Like, they live a life, they model a life of generosity. They're not perfect, but they model a life of generosity. And it even carries down into their kids that have seen this lifestyle of generosity. But Jim, I mean, how many times have you given to somebody and they totally just ruined what you gave them? They totally just wasted what you gave them. I mean, every week he says, he gives something to somebody and they totally waste it. It happens, but that shouldn't stop us from giving. I want to read a story, and throughout this series, I want to take a few moments to read a couple of stories out of this book. And as a matter of fact, hopefully I'll be able to buy some of these books. I can't buy enough for everybody, but I'll be able to buy a few of these and be able to give these out, because I really think it would be a fun book for you to read. I have really enjoyed reading this book. But I want to read a story, and the stories are short, but this story is called, everything has to do with I Like. This story is called I Like Not Being Rejected by a lady named Joy. And Joy writes this letter to the book, and she says, I have a dear friend named Anne who knows me better than just about anyone. She's blonde and petite, and when she rolls her eyes, she cracks me up every single time. Through the years, we've laughed and we've cried over some of life's best and worst experiences. We met our husbands the same year, got married the same year. I had a baby, then she had a baby. When I was diagnosed with cancer, sadly, Anne was diagnosed with cancer too. When Anne pulled through her final surgery, a crazy idea came to my mind. What if, she said, we went on a cruise together. We had both been through so much pain, uncertainty, and fear. Wouldn't a jaunt through the Caribbean be the perfect recipe for recovery? I'll tell you right now, I wish Joy was my friend. There was only one problem. Anne's husband was unemployed, and I was certain they couldn't afford such an extravagant trip. When I mentioned the idea to my husband, he astonished me with his response. So many people had showered us with kindness during our battle with cancer. Why not bless Anne with a free ticket? I couldn't contain my excitement. I imagined boarding the cruise ship with her sunglasses on and bags packed, and then heading out for a week on the open seas. I could almost taste the salty air on my tongue and feel the golden sun on my back. With tears of joy in my eyes, I picked up the phone. I remember the excitement in Anne's voice and her heartfelt gratitude. Then she paused and said that before we bought the tickets, she would need to talk with her husband. A few days went by before I heard from her, and this time the excitement was drained from her voice. She said the cruise was not going to happen. Then she said, please, let's not talk about this again. I was devastated. With just a few words, my closest friend shut down the biggest act of generosity I'd ever attempted. I felt as if I'd been punched in the gut. Was there something wrong with my gift? Or worse, was something wrong with me? Or was it her husband's pride? I haven't brought it up again, and to this day, the rejection stings like an old burn that's still tender. I don't know exactly what happened, but I have a theory. Perhaps when we are in need, the hardest thing to do is have those needs met by someone else. How I wish she would have said yes. Now, there's no happy ending to that story. Like, I wish I could say, now let me read you the rest of it. There's not a rest of it. Like, that's how the story ends. She was rejected, and she didn't like being rejected. And sometimes when you give, you will be rejected. Sometimes when you give, someone will turn you down. And that's okay. I like this quote from Kent Keith, he said, people are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. It's important for you to know that today, that as we continue in this message series, that what we talk about is not going to be easy. And you may get rejected, you may get your feelings hurt, but it doesn't mean you stop giving. So often, rejection is one of those things that just blocks people from doing what God wants them to do. And we can't allow that to happen. Number four is the cure. Giving and a generous life is the cure for selfishness. I want to go back to Luke chapter 11, verse 39 through 42, the same story I read to you earlier. But I want to point out a different verse this time. If you look at verse 41, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, but give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. what Jesus was saying at the time, whenever you study some, I know he's using words we don't normally use, alms and stuff like that. But basically what he was saying, as I've studied the scriptures, it means this. Jesus said to these guys, he said, look, learn to give what you have. Learn to give what you have in abundance. Learn to give what is inside of you. And as you learn to be generous in life, he says, God will clean the inside of you. And I think what he's going to clean is the selfishness, because Jesus had just told them they were selfish and greedy. And as we learn to give to others, what happens is we learn to promote others above ourselves. Whenever we give something to someone else, we're telling them what I have gathered for myself is not as important for me as it is for you. I'm going to give it to you. Throughout the scriptures, Jesus constantly says, give to the poor, give to the poor, give to the poor. Consider others better than yourself. Be a servant. Like, throughout the scriptures, that is his main theme, is how to live the Christian life, is to live as a servant to all men. And then he modeled it for us. You know why Jesus was so popular? He wasn't popular because he appealed to the rich. He wasn't popular because he appealed to the powerful. He was popular because he appealed to the poor. He showed up and gave people hope when nobody else would. He showed up and served people and ministered to people that nobody else would minister to. I love the fact that Jesus would lay hands on lepers, because lepers were considered unclean and cast out of the city. And Jesus said, look, I'll put my hand on you and pray for you. I'll come put my arm around you and hug you. Like, Jesus talked to people that he wasn't supposed to talk to. And I think that's something that we forget sometimes in life, is we have to be the people that serve others. And as we do, it will cure the selfishness inside of us. I don't know about you, but every so often, and probably not you, maybe it's just me, I find selfishness inside of me. I find selfishness in me. I mean, I've got a couple of small groups that I lead, and in one of them, I was telling them the other day, I said, I don't like to admit this, but the truth is, I'm selfish. Like, there are parts of me that I'm selfish. And so it does me really good to learn to give things away, to learn to give life away, because it'll help other people and make me less selfish. And then number five, generosity is modeled by God through Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The point of that is that God gave everything. He gave Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ gave his life. Jesus said this, there's no greater gift, there's no greater love that we can show our fellow man than to lay down your life for your friends. Jesus said, whenever you learn to give everything you've got away, then that is going to be the greatest thing you could ever do. That is the greatest act of love you could ever show, is to sacrifice all for others. And that really hits me in the teeth today, because there's plenty of times when I don't want to sacrifice. There are plenty of times whenever, even when I do sacrifice, I do it begrudgingly, right? I do it and I'm just kind of upset about it. And Jesus said, this is the greatest gift you could ever give. This is the greatest act of love. So it's important for us to understand that Jesus did it. And if Jesus can do it, we can do it. If God models it for us, here's what Jesus said. He said, I only do the things I see the Father do. I only say the things I hear the Father say. And that was an example for us, that the things we do should always be modeled after Christ. And so when we see Christ willing to give, then we should be willing to give as well. So let's talk very quickly, and I'm going to close with these last two thoughts here. And it's this. Often we have excuses as to why we don't give, right? Like, everybody's got an excuse. If you look back at your life, I mean, look at different times when people have asked you for something. Look at different times whenever you should have helped somebody and you had an excuse. And one of the main excuses is, I don't have enough stuff to be generous, right? I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough things to be generous to other people. Can I tell you this morning that that's not a good excuse? It's not a good excuse. The Bible says this in Malachi 3:10. Starting here, it says, planting results in harvesting. So every time you sow, you're always going to reap something, right? Every time you plant, you're always going to have fruit. Malachi 3:10 says, and this is about tithing, but I like this thought. It says, if you tithe, it says, I will give you a blessing. The Bible says that. But here's the thing it says. that will overflow that you can't contain. Well, why do I have a blessing that I can't contain? It can't all be for me. If I can't contain it, that means it is overflowing to the people around me. So the blessings in my life are not just for me. When God blesses you, it's to bless other people. And so for those of you that do tithe and God does bless you over and abundantly, don't just take the over and abundance and store it in the bank somewhere. Use it to help someone else. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And listen to this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, in other words, having all that you need, God will provide everything that you need so that you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Verse 10 says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. In other words, what Paul's saying there is don't use excuses. He says, whatever you sow, you're also going to reap back. And he says, if you want to do good to others, if you want to live a generous lifestyle, and you strive to live a generous lifestyle, God will provide all that you need to do it. I think that's so cool of God, that he not only asks us to live a generous lifestyle, but then gives us all that we need to do it. And some of you may be thinking, yeah, but I'm poor, Pastor. I don't have a job. Or maybe I'm working three jobs just to survive. Like, I'm barely making ends meet. How can I be generous? Well, I want to talk to you about 10 non-monetary ways, and this is where we're closing. 10 non-monetary ways to give life. Number one is celebration or honor. You know, I don't know how everybody feels about this. But I'm always the guy that says, oh, I don't need a birthday party. You know, like when I was a kid or even as a young adult, I don't need a birthday party. Now as I'm older, I really don't want birthday parties because I don't want to be reminded that I'm getting older every year. So I'm like, I don't need birthday parties. But when I was younger, I used to say that, but it always actually felt a little bit good whenever you come in and there's like a surprise party for you, right? And they're celebrating the fact that you made it to 13 years old or whatever the case was. Y'all remember that feeling? The feeling of being celebrated or the feeling of whenever your baseball team won the championship and everybody's cheering for you and your team. That felt good. Why did we stop doing that? Like, now we know what's going on. Why do we stop doing that? We need to celebrate other people and honor other people. The Bible says this, honor those who deserve honor. Like, give honor to them. Help them out. What we need to start doing is whenever we find people that have done great things, even if they're small great things, honor them, celebrate them, have a party for them, whatever it takes. People love it. Number two is growth or encouragement. Isaiah 35:3 says, strengthen the feeble knees. In other words, you will find so much life in helping somebody else grow, in encouraging other people to do well. I used to always love whenever I was doing something and I wasn't all that good at it. Like, for example, when I first started exercising, I didn't know what I was doing. I'd just get in there and just move my arms around, you know, and just like hold some weights. And I thought, well, this is doing something, right? Because it hurts. I didn't realize it was like also breaking bones in my body and tearing up things. But I just thought it must be good. And I remember this guy that owned the gym that had started coming to our church. And he came up to me. And he was like, hey, if you don't mind, like, let me spend a few weeks working out with you and just showing you the proper way to do things. Now, I could have taken that as, what, you don't think I'm doing it right? Fact was, I wasn't. And I knew it. And I thought, man, this is awesome. Like, what a blessing to me to have somebody that is an expert in his field show me how to do something. There's some of you, you say, I don't have any money, but you know what you do have? You do have a certain set of skills that you can impart onto someone else. You may not have any money at all, but you've got something that you can encourage somebody else with and help them along. And as you help them, what you're going to find is not only are they being blessed, but you're going to be blessed as well. You're going to be blessed as well. Number three is forgiveness. Jesus said, if you forgive other people, then you will also receive forgiveness from God. There's so many people today stuck in unforgiveness. And there's people in your life right now that you have not forgiven. And the problem is, you are the one that's paying the consequence for it, first of all. But second of all, that person almost feels trapped in your life. Because every time you see them, you ignore them. Every time you see them, it's awkward, it's weird. Every time you see them, you kind of turn away from them. Why? Because there's this unforgiveness in there. And if you would just learn to forgive other people and release them from your captivity, that'll be one of the greatest gifts you could ever give somebody. One of the greatest gifts. My friend Wes, sitting over here, was telling me a story one time about a guy in his life. Now, you got to understand, Wes and Liz are, again, like the people I'm talking about, very generous people, sometimes to a fault. Like, Wes is very quick to allow people to just come live in his house if they need a place to stay. Like, I tell him all the time, I'm like, man, you got this giving thing all wrong, right? You're going to get in trouble one day. But Wes is just that guy. Like, he just loves people. And one time there was a guy, someone he had let into his life. And I hope it's okay for me to share this part, Wes. It doesn't matter, I'm already started, right? So he let this guy into his life as a good friend. But then things went south, and the guy, as I said earlier, you get rejected. Sometimes you get burned when you're trying to be generous. You get burned sometimes. And I think it was so cool. Wes told me, he said, man, I was driving down the road, and I saw where this guy worked, and I just felt like I had to pull in. And I walked in, and I told the guy I forgave him. I just forgave him for everything that he had done. I released him for everything that he had done. He said, now, I also said we ain't hanging out anymore because I'm not going to get burned like that again, but... And that's okay. He said, but I forgave him. I let him go. You know, more than letting the guy stay in your house, more than letting the guy have your stuff and your money, forgiving the guy is the greatest gift you can give somebody. The next one is courage. We can give somebody courage. How often does somebody not have courage to do something? And as you encourage them, as you love them, as you push them to greater heights, the Bible says in Joshua 1 that God constantly was telling Joshua, be of good courage, be of good courage, be of good courage. Why? Because there's some big things you're going to face and you got to have courage. You can give people the gift of humor. Give them the gift of humor. The Bible says laughter doeth good like a medicine. Sometimes we forget that in our pious Christian life. We need to laugh every so often. Tell dumb jokes. Right? Sometimes people need to forget the pain they're going through with a little bit of laughter. Like, they just need a break. And if you can provide that for them, that would be a huge gift. Have compassion on somebody. Have compassion. Have mercy on them. Whenever you know they've done wrong and you just have compassion, you love them anyway. That's a huge gift. Doesn't cost you any money. Be a loyal friend. Show loyalty and faithfulness to people. I have a kid that I work with at the school. And according to what I've heard from his grandmother, the kid's dad walked out whenever the kid was younger. I mean, he's young now anyways, but his dad walked out a few years ago to go live with another woman, and they've got their own family now. And that family, he's kind of started rejecting his old family. And they said, the lady told me, she said, yeah, my grandson, you know, his dad will tell him, I'll be here at 3:00 to pick you up, to take you to the movie. And he said they would get, him and his brother would get so excited, they would be waiting at the door at like 2:30, like waiting. And they said the dad wouldn't come. And it wasn't even a matter of he wouldn't come for a little while, he was just late. It wasn't even one of those things where he would call and say, hey, something came up. He just wouldn't show up, period. And didn't call, didn't do anything. And she said it happens to those boys over and over and over. Constant rejection. So when I was working with the kid, it gave me a little bit different view of his life And for whatever reason, these kids, a couple of them, I can draw a little bit, and they like for me to draw them football players. I don't know why. It's kind of silly. But he was like, can you draw me a football player? And I made him a promise. I said, I will draw you a football player, you know, by the end of the week. And it got towards the end of the week, and I realized I hadn't completed the football player. And I was like, the most important thing I can do right now is get this football player done. And so I got to work early, and I get out my paper and my pencil, and I'm just tearing it up, man. I'm drawing the football player for him, right? Because I knew I've got to be loyal to this kid. Like, I've got to show him some faithfulness. I've got to show him that when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And that was a huge gift for that kid. Like, that was better than me giving him money. The fact that I did what I said I was going to do. The next one is listening to somebody. Sometimes people don't need you to give them anything. They don't need you to tell them anything. They just need somebody that's going to listen to them. Somebody that will hear them out. And that's important. Jesus did it in Mark chapter 5, verses 33 and 34. The woman with the issue of blood, she comes up to him. The Bible says she began to tell her whole story to him. And he just sat there and listened to her. Two more. Creativity. Some of you don't have any money, but you're very creative people. And you can help somebody else. How can I help them? You can help them by helping them paint their house, design a room for them, whatever the case may be. Some of you are really good with your hands and you can build stuff. There's probably lots of areas of my life you can be creative with me and help me because I can't build anything, right? So that's a huge part of life is learning to be creative. Give what you have to give. Give what you have to give. It doesn't have to be money. The last one is this. It's called hope. Hope. Hope through Jesus. There's a story in the Bible of a guy named Andrew. Andrew finds Jesus, and the Bible says the first thing he did was he went and found his brother and said, we found the Messiah. You got to come with me. The first thing he did was find somebody else and bring them to Jesus. He gave him hope. There's another story in the Bible of a man named Philip. The Bible says Philip's walking down the road one day, and a chariot comes by. Chariot must have been going slow, or Philip must have been going fast, because Philip could hear the guy on the chariot reading the scriptures. So Philip stops him, and for whatever reason, he gets up on the chariot with this dude, and they begin to talk, and the guy begins to ask him questions about the scriptures. He says, I don't understand this. In other words, he's got knowledge of the word, but no hope because he doesn't understand Jesus yet. And Philip begins to open up the scriptures to him and explain to him who Jesus is and what Jesus did for him. The Ethiopian royalty got saved that day, got baptized. And did you know even to this day, Ethiopia, the main religion in Ethiopia, Christianity. I think it has something to do because somebody was willing to give. They were willing to give hope to a guy that had no hope. And then he took that hope to a whole nation. Let me just read one last story to you. And it's about giving without using a lot of money. It's called I Like Strawberry Milkshakes by Francis, who apparently lives here in Birmingham. It says, I was stepping out of a store in Birmingham, Alabama, on a cold December day when a lady behind me said, hey, I'm hungry. I turned around as she repeated herself a little louder this time. She was elderly and her clothes were ragged, and she held an old bag in her lap. Do you have some change? I'm hungry, she said. I apologized that I didn't have any cash on me and continued on my way. As I approached my car, however, I saw Burger King on the other side of the parking lot and decided I could help her after all. Pulling my car around where she was sitting, I asked if she would like something from the King. Strawberry milkshake, she replied. A milkshake? Seriously? It must have been like 30 degrees outside and she wanted a milkshake. I checked to make sure, but she insisted that a milkshake was what she wanted. I told her I'd get her a hamburger and some fries too. Returning from the drive-thru, I gave her the burger, fries, and yes, strawberry milkshake. She looked up at me and said, this is key, don't miss this. Most of the time people just see me and keep walking like I don't even exist. Thank you for acknowledging me. How many times have I passed someone in need and kept walking? How many times have I not only refused to help, but not even acknowledged the person's need? In that moment of seeing her gratitude, it really hit me. What mattered to her more than the milkshake and the food was simply that I took time to see her and care. Sometimes the greatest gift you can give has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with that lady. It was just acknowledgement. Hey, I'm still a human. I may be poor. I may be on the side of the road here. I may be begging. Maybe I didn't make all the right choices in my life. But I'm still human. God still loves me. And if you could just notice me. Jesus said that. He said the story of the sheep and the goats. Basically what he was saying was, is you walked right past me every day. You didn't acknowledge me. I'm still here. I just want somebody to love me. I want somebody to care for me. I want somebody to take care of other people. I want people to live a generous life. It doesn't matter how much money you make, how much money you give. It matters what you do with what I've given you. There's some of you have so many things you can give. So many things. I like Barbara Hill's in the room today. She's sitting in the back. Barbara didn't make a lot of money. But you know what Barbara does? Barbara said, you know, Pastor, I've got this heart for people that are hungry in church. Not hungry on the street, hungry in church. She said, we got people that are hungry in church. She said, I got a heart for them. I don't know what to do with it. And I said, well, start you a small group. So she did. And she tries to get people to collect cans of food. They get all the bread. Jim brings more bread in here than could feed an army. But she says, I still need meat. I need vegetables. I need stuff like that because people don't want to survive just on bread and sweets. I need some substance. And so she you know what she does? She just gives out of her own pantry sometimes. She's like, there's times I just give all my food away. Like, I just give it to people because someone's got it. I've got something that someone else needs and I want to help them. She's not dumping a bunch of money into a ministry somewhere. She's just giving cans away. But what she's doing is changing somebody's life because of her generosity. Why don't you close your eyes this morning, bow your head. We're going to pray.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.